Okay, let's start the sugya over here in Sukkah. So I want to take up the question of the number of walls and their configuration. It's a lot of interesting points. All right, a little difficult. Let's see how we do here. All right, let's start with the Mishnah. Who wants to read? Yeah, so the Mishnah goes through the basic requirements and limitations. And the first one is Lamala Me'esrim Amas Psula, according to the Rabbanan. So, like we said, there are a lot of reasons given in the Gemara. Actually, the reason we hold like, you want to shut that off? Okay. So what's the first requirement? The first soul in the Mishnah is the height, higher than 20 amas. Okay. So the Gemara gives a few reasons. I think the reason we hold like is diras arai, that a sukkah in its structure has to be. Has to express a certain temporary construction, and something that is higher than 20 amos has to be built in a permanent way. Okay, so that's lamala me'esrim amo, and then she'ena gavoa asor tvachem, that simply doesn't have the ability for dira. Okay. And she'ein lo sholosh defanos, it's lacking three walls. V'chamosa merub mitzilasa, and the sun, its sun is greater than its shade. So all of those are psula. Okay. So the last one is what? Let's take a look at Rashi. Chamosa merub mitzilasa. Yeah. Shechamosam ruba mitzilasa.
Oh, hamuat batel barov.
Okay, so one second. So it says that what? If the sun is greater than the shade, then what's the problem? The muat is batel barov. Then it comes out that the tzeil, which is the muat, is going to be batel barov.
Meaning 51%.
Right.
Sunlight is too much.
It's too much. V'harehu k'misha eino.
Yeah. It's as if you don't have any shade whatsoever.
And now it's as if you don't have any shade whatsoever.
Ve'al shem haschach pruya sukkah. And the schach is the whole purpose of the sukkah.
Yeah. So you don't need shade over here. You just need shade. Right, you don't need it to be the other way. You don't need it that the shade is the road. 50-50 is good according to this, because you just need the shame sail. You just need that there is shade. You need that the schach is functioning. It functions if it produces an entity that's not bottle. So the problem would be if it's a muat. So then you'll say the shade is batel barov. And then it's kamisha eino. And then there's no function at all in the schach. But as long as it's not batel, you're fine. Okay. I mean it means really what it implies over here is it's not that you have to be in the shade of the it's just that the schach has to be functioning. If you are under a spot that's a break in the schach, that's not necessarily a problem. Problem is that if the shade on the ground is bottle. Okay, but the Gemara goes into this. There's another Mishnah later about where the 50-50 is. Is it in the schach or is it in the shade? Okay, but anyway, it's not our topic. So we're going to go to the Defanos. Go ahead. Okay, so the Mishnah says if it doesn't have three walls, it's pasul. It's pasul.
Yeah.
And the Braisa says that what does it mean?
Shnayim kehil chasan.
What does it mean kehil chasan?
Two that are 10?
No.
Right?
No.
No? Two that are at least 10 tefachim?
No.
Why not?
10 is what? Which direction are you doing? Are you measuring?
Up.
No.
No? Oh, fine.
If it's not 10 tefachim, it's nothing. If a mechitza doesn't have the height of 10 tefachim, it's not a mechitza. It's nothing. Okay? So what does it mean shekilchasa? Let's see Rashi. Shtayim kehilchasan. Yeah, so kimin, so Rashi says, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this question is. Rashi says, Mizrachis Tzafonis. So what's Mizrachis Tzafonis? It means east.
In the north.
North and east. Okay. Mm-hmm. We always orient north to the top of our page. Right?
Yeah.
So if it were on our page, or which way? Or Dromus Ma'aravis. So this picture in the side of the Rashi is the Dromus Ma'aravis picture. Right?
Yeah.
For us, that's what I would say.
Does it tell you both of these?
Yeah, and why? And what about? Why does he tell you both of these?
And not even that. Where is he getting it?
And what about the other ones?
They're the same. Right, why not? Based on rotation.
What are we missing? That thing.
Missing. I'm saying, why did he use
south and east? Right. What about south and east, or north and west?
Yeah,
that's one of them.
No answer to that question. But it says kimin gam. What does kimin gam mean? Like a gamma. That's it means to say it's connected at the bottom, like an L. As opposed to what? As opposed to parallel lines.
Yeah.
Right. Meaning saying it's two kehil chason. And how are they oriented? They're oriented like a gam. Okay. But that's not what kehil chason means. What does kehil chason mean? Continue the next Rashi.
Kishur Meshech Sukkah.
The shear of the length of a sukkah.
Mm. Meaning?
Meaning what? Our Mishnah doesn't tell us. That's the one thing our Mishnah doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
Right? How big does a sukkah have to be? What is its
length requirements?
What is its length and width requirements?
The width is 4, right?
So we hold 7x7. And a mashu, 7 and a mashu, right? 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So it seems Rashi's saying kihil chason means over here, you have to have two walls that are oriented kimin gam, right? Not parallel, and they have to be kihil chason according to their law. What does it mean? It means according to the shear of a length of a sukkah. So in other words, two walls have to go the entire length of the sukkah, of a kasher sukkah. So that's, let's say, it's a 7 and a 7 tefachim. Okay. V'acha, v'what? V'shlishis is what?
Afilu tefach.
Right. So that's what it means. Two have to be... No, it's because the problem is, what does it mean, kehil chason? Isn't everything have to be kehil chason? Right?
Yeah.
Of course everything has to be kehil chason. So he means to say kehil chason means according to the size of a sukkah. Right? It has to be the length of a size of the size of a what a kosher sukkah is. So he means to say kehil chason means in the same shear as the hilchos sukkah are. Hilchos sukkah demands an area of 7x7, so those two walls have to be kehil chason. But the third one only needs to be one tefach. Okay. Go ahead. That's the Rabbanan.
Okay.
Rabbi Shimon Omer.
Rabbi Shimon Omer Shosh Kehil Chasan V'Rabbiyas Afilu Tefach.
Yeah. Rabbi Shimon says, he argues, says, no, you only need, I'm sorry, you need more. You need three that are the length of that correspond to the length of the sukkah, to the dimension of the sukkah itself, and the fourth one only has to be a tefach. Yeah, the fourth one, and only the fourth one has the din that it can be a tefach. Yeah, okay. I mean, the whole idea of a tefach is very hard to understand. Right? Like, what does that mean? We just fudge the last one, like...
into the fourth wall.
Yeah, well, what is the idea? I mean, you need a wall, yeah.
Just
let's see if we can see... let's take the Gemara, see how we can approach this question. So the Gemara says like this, B'mai kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? What are they arguing about? B'mai kamiflagi.
Rabbanan.
Go ahead.
Rabbanan savre yeshe'im l'mesoras. V'Rav Shimon savar yeshe'im l'mikra.
Okay. Rabbi Shimon holds... I'm sorry, the Rabbanan hold yeshe'im l'mesoras. And Rabbi Shimon holds yesh aim the mikra. Okay, this is one of these machlokasin that comes up a few times. It's one of those universal questions. It's not isolated to this question here. How it's applied in each case, Tosas tries to work through. But we'll just try to take a basic idea from here. How does it work? Go ahead. What does it mean, Rashi? Yesh aim lemesoras. What does that mean?
Yesh aim lemesoras kema shekasav Moshe umasar besim.
Okay, so Rashi trying to explain the terminology. Kema shekasav Moshe umasar besefer Torah liYisrael. The way it was written, and handed over. The way that Moshe wrote it, and
transitioned to how it was handed over.
No. The way Moshe wrote it, umosar, and handed it, and gave over in the Sefer Torah to the Jews, that is the aim and the ikker. So, mesores means the way it's, way it was written and given in the Torah, and aim means ikker, but not the way it's read. Not the way it's read. Interesting. Rashi has a slightly different explanation in Sanhedrin. He says, Yesh aim lemikra. That's aim lemikra. Where did I see that? Hold on. Yesh aim lemikra. No, that's mikra. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, so what does it mean, lemesoras? And Nikra means what? The way it's read. The question was, why they're both Misora, right? Okay. Misora had to write it, Misora had to read it. Why is one called Misoras? Yeah.
I have one on...
See here, it's interesting. In Makos, he says, Kemosha Nimsora Kisav Shel Teva Lemosha Anu Tzrichim Lidarsha. V'lo l'fi ha-mikra kishe'ata kore. It goes by what? The way the writing of the letter was given to, of the word was given to Moshe. Kemasha nimser. He's trying to explain the mesoras. Why is one called mesora? I mean, we have a mesora on how to write it. We have a mesora on how to read it. Why is one called mesoras? So here he says what? Kimasha kosav Moshe umosar b'sefer Torah liYisrael. It's funny, he has two different shatim, right? In Sukkah he says, the way Moshe wrote it and gave it over in the Torah to Yisrael.
Is that like when you have in the Chumash, like, it's written one way?
And here he says in Makos, Kimasha nimsro ksav shel teva limoshe. The way it was given over to Moshe.
Oh, I see.
Right? Not the way it's read. Lo kemoshehu nikra. Yeah. In other words, Avi's saying that Mesorah means by the Ksav, because the Ksav is a thing, is an entity that you hand over. And Mikra is an activity. You have limud on Mikra. You can teach how to do it, but it doesn't exist as a thing that you hand over. There's limud about it, but the terminology of Moser to be Mosar means has to be Mosar b'sefer. Okay, but either way. Anyway, we know what we're talking about. So the question is, does it go by the way it's written or the way it's read? How does that even work? Go ahead. How does that even help us?
Back in the Gemara. Okay. Rabban.
We'll worry about understanding it in a minute. Let's just see how it even helps. Go ahead. So the Rabbanan Savri Yeshem Lamesoros.
Yeah, Rabban Savri Yeshem Lamesoros, and now it's the pasuk Besukos. Harekan Arba.
Okay, so these are different psukim.
Yeah.
Okay. Basukos Teshru. That's one. Yashru Basukos. Two. Ki Basukos Hoshavti. Okay. Chad mole vitrein chaserin. Basukas mashmo chada. Okay. So it's three different psukim. One is mole. I'm sorry, it's three different references. One is mole with a vav, and two are chaser. And Rashi says, without the vav, it's mashmo one sukkah. Okay? So let's go. So if you hold Yesh Eim LeMesores, then how does it work?
Harekan Arba.
Because it's Sukkah. Sukkah is one and two. Sukkos is four. Okay.
Plural, yeah.
Because we always go the minimal plural is two. So we have one, and two is four. Harekan Arba.
And then Dalachad Legufe.
Dalachad Legufe. So that means deduct one. Legufe. What does legufe mean?
Teach the idea of sukkah.
For itself, Rashi.
Legufe. The ein dorshin tchilos pasuk hanemar rishon.
The ein dorshin tchilos, right?
Oh, the ein dorshin tchilos.
That's a phrase. We don't darshin beginnings.
Yeah.
Meaning the pasuk hanemar rishon eino ledrasha. The first one, the very first reference, you don't just get to deduct which one that you choose. The first reference is deducted, is used basically for. In other words, we're doing a strange thing here. These drushes are strange, but it's based on an idea of a riboy. Right, since it didn't need to be here, so then you can darshan it for something additional, right? But the first reference had to be there, had to tell you actually to sit in the sukkah,
yeah.
Right? Had to tell you that there is such a phenomenon of sukkah. So you can't darshan. We don't darshan the first reference because it's legufe. It came for itself. Right. If I need to tell you to sit in the sukkah, I have to use the word sukkah. But I don't have to use the word sukkah three times.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right now we're saying everybody agrees you don't use the first reference of sukkah for any drasha. That's considered to be legufe. Okay. So now you're going to have. Who are we learning like? Yesh Eim LeMesores. So now you're going to have how many left?
Three.
Because the second one is Chaser and the third one is Mole. So that's three.
Yeah.
Right? So Shtayim Kehil Chason. So what does three become? Three becomes two full walls.
From the last.
No. Quarter. Just because we have three.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. Ukma tefach. So there was really three means three walls. But what happens? Then three walls turns into, with the combination of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, it becomes two walls, and then the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim shrinks down the third wall. It's a shrinker.
How does that work?
It's a shrinker. It's just so you come out with two full walls and one horizontally compressed third wall down to a tefach.
Why does it do that?
That's a good question. We have to work on that in a little bit in a little bit. But let's see. What does he say? That's the hilchasav. Asoy hilchasav vigoroso lishlishes. It reduces the third one and it establishes it as a tefach. Okay, that's one way to go. Let's just go through the rest. That's the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon Savar, Yesh Eim LaMikra.
So now he has three references to a plural sukkah.
Yeah, he reads them all as mole.
That's right.
Okay.
Because that's how they're read.
Besukos, 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 hare kan shesh.
Right. So now he starts out with six walls, so to speak, six references to sukkah.
But then he takes away one.
One what?
One plural.
One awesome. What? One word. Correct. One of the entire words gets removed.
Yeah.
Because that first word is needed.
Yeah.
So now he's down to four.
Pashu lehu arba. Shalosh
kel chasan asai. Shalosh. Now you're left with three standard walls.
Oh yeah. Asai el chasa vegrasa lerevius veukmasa atefa.
Comes along the halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim.
And it reduces. It shrinks the last one.
That's right. And it establishes it as a tefach. Okay, let's see Rashi. Hilchasa. What Hilchasa? Where did Hilchasa come from? Right? Where did the Hilchasa come from?
Okay, Hilchasa. Ha-da-rinan le'el halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim la'achi nami itmar le'hilchasa le'mechitzos le'migray le'shlishes.
No, it was because the Gemara earlier was talking about, it says on Hayam Vez, She Omar Rav, Omar Bichir Barashi, Omar Rav, She Urin Chatzitzin Umechitzin Halachal Moshe Mitzrayim. Okay, so the three things are Halachal Moshe Mitzrayim. She Urim, right? Rashi says, She Urim of Isser, like a Kazayas for regular Isser, and a Kosevis for Yom Kippurim. Chatzitzin, the chatzitzas puzzle in tefillah, and mechitzin, the laws of mechitza. So, what are the laws of mechitza? What does it mean? The laws of mechitza are halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says at the end of the right before the two dots, it has a good lavud and dofen akuma. You see that?
Yeah.
So good is that the walls extend up or down.
Yeah.
Right?
There's
good asik, right? Good asik is the walls extend up. Okay. Are you familiar with that? That means to say that if I have a mechitza already, we consider the wall to extend upward.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what would that be? That would be...
if you had a tefach one on the ground, right?
It would be like, the case is, like let's say I build my sukkah on the rooftop, for instance. Okay? And I just put four poles in the corners of the building. Okay? So now, I have, that's a controversial case. Let's just say I have a sukkah that the schach doesn't reach, the walls don't reach the schach. Right? The schach goes up 6 feet. I'm sorry, the walls go up 6 feet, and I have poles, and the schach are 10 feet So there's a 4-foot gap between the schach and the walls. The halacha is the walls have to be connected to the schach. So I say, good asik. I say, it's like that mechitza extends and hits the schach. So halacha mosh misinai, we view a wall as having an extension in the upward direction. That's good asik. Good achas is the downward direction. Lavud means what?
Like the sukkah, the schach is
like
hanging off, right?
So lavud by mechitza means that we consider a space of less than 3 tfachim to be joined. Lavud means like joined.
Oh, fine.
Okay. So if I have a wall, by building a wall, let's say out of a picket fence, right? So it's considered to be solid. Right. When you're making a wall, you have to figure out how much space and how much solid. If you have too much space, it would undermine the wall. That's parts move al omid. But what do I consider to be solid? So Lovett says within 3 tefachim of each other, I consider it a solid wall. Okay, it's a scaling issue. Yeah. So in other words, in my picket fence example, if I have if the pickets are within 3 tefachim of each other, it's considered like there's no space. You don't count any of the space as paras. It's all considered amud.
Even if in reality you do have paras growing.
That's right. Okay. That's right. That's the halacha Moshe Mishinai, that we consider it less than 3 tefachim. We consider it solid. Okay, and Dofen Akuma is a different story. Okay, so this is another one he's saying. There's another halacha Moshe Mishinai that what? Itmar says, Lahachi Nami Itmar Le. This is also one of the halachos of Moshe Mishinai. Hilchisa Lemechitzos. So when we said that there's halacha Moshe Mishinai about Mechitzos, it also applies to this. Lemigre lishlishis dofen sukkah ulemiske lebeteva. So what's the point over here? The point is it's a very this one this halacha Moshe Mishinai though is unique to sukkah. Right? It's not like good achis, good asik. Those are just general properties of mechitzas. Those are properties of mechitzas in general. Lavud is a property of mechitzas in general. Right? This halacha Moshe Mishinai is specifically about the structure of a sukkah. Similar to the one before, which was Dofen Akuma. You know what Dofen Akuma? Dofen Akuma means that if you have a sukkah that goes up and then there's schach posel that is attached to that, that's a cross, we consider it all like one bent wall. We consider it like the wall itself is bent. In other words, like I mentioned before, the wall has to connect to the schach. Right? So if my wall is over here, and then I have schach posel, and then kasher schach. So my wall is separated from my schach by the schach posel. Simplest case is like you take a flat roof building, right? You punch a hole in the middle of the roof, and you lay schach over that hole, right? So now it turns out you've got 4 walls, and you've got schach. But between your schach and the wall is roof, which is schach posel, right? So you don't have the tziruf of your wall and your schach. There's schach posel in between the wall and your schach. So Dofen Akuma is halacha Moshe Mishinai. What does it say? It says we view the wall like a bent wall. So now it turns out your wall is bent and the top of your wall is attached to your schach. Cute, right?
Yeah.
So that's also dafka for sukkah. There's no application to Dofen Akuma in other areas. So Lacha Moshe Mishinai is like isolated exceptions, so to speak, or isolated positing isolated facts or rules. It could be about general things like a mechitza, or it could be specifically about sukkah. Okay. All right. We'll have to come back to what this idea is. What the idea of reducing the last wall. I mean, everybody now is agreeing that there's a halacha Moshe Mishinai that the last wall gets reduced down to a tefach. The question is, how many walls do we have to start with? And that's going to depend on whether you learn aim le mesores or aim le mikra. Okay, so what is this question of aim le mikra or aim le mesores? Take a look at Tosus. He says, Kulu modu, Rabbi Shimon Osama, Kulu modu de darshinan mikra umesores. In other words, everybody agrees that we darshan the way it's read and the way it's written. Delo al chinam nichtav kein. What are you going to say? I mean, it doesn't make sense to say what? It was written for nothing. So there is some importance to the way it's written, and there's some importance to the way it's read. It implies here, by the way, that what? That the writing is what's off. Right? The implication is the writing is what's off. Right. It's meaning, what is the right? What should have been done? Should have been written with vavs. That would have been the right way to go.
Because of that, you darshan something wrong.
Right. Well, it was changed with thought.
So ksiv is not accurate.
In other words, if I was writing something to be read.
Doesn't grammatically line up with the basic rules that we know.
Okay. The lo al chinam nichtav kein ella b'milsa de mikchashi ahadadi pligi. The only machlokas, in other words, of yesh aim means ikar. That's what Rashi is saying. Of course, it has importance. But the question is, what's the ikar? When there's a conflict, which one do we go by? So it's only b'milsa de mikchashi ahadadi pligi. They only argue. It's not a question, do you darshan the mikra, do you darshan the mesoras? Question is the aim. So when they argue, when there's opposite implications from the mikra and the ksav, so then there's a machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbana. Dimar sovar mikra ikr. Right? And that's yesh aim le mikra. And the other one holds yesh aim le mesoras. Okay. So how do we understand this? What would you say over here in this machlokas? What would you say? What would you say? Which is the
ikar?
Which is the ikar? Who said that? Okay, so one side is saying the mikra is the ikar. Why?
I'll say the other way.
The reading.
It's funny. The terminology is funny. What's it called? With a vav is mole.
Yes.
Right. And without a vav is chaser. And the implication is that that's the right way. With the vav is normal.
Well, that was the way.
It's not called mosif.
The first time the word was written in the Torah.
All right, so I'll give you an argument that the ksav should be the ikar. I'll give you an argument that the ksav should be the ikar.
That's
what you want to do.
Yeah.
But give it to me. I didn't hear you give it to me yet.
Oh,
I didn't hear the.
I
was telling you. In other words. This is Torah Shebichsav. Torah is Torah Shebichsav. So what does it mean, Torah Shebichsav? Of course, we have to read Torah Shebichsav. We have to read it. So we use our mouth. It's not going to, there's a mitzvah to enunciate it. And there's a special way to read it. But as a cheftza of Torah, the ikar is ksav. In other words, this branch of this section of Torah, this is what we call Torah Shebichsav. We darshan it. Those are things we do to it, right? That's what
it's
Gil is saying.
Supplement, yeah.
But the ksav is the ikar because that's the kedusha of this cheftza. The right. Ksav is the kedusha of this cheftza.
What do you mean when you say kedusha of this cheftza?
You're saying
in other words, it's an entity of Torah shebichsav, and if it was mole when it should be chaser, it'd be puzzle. Okay, so he holds that when you want to understand what is the ikar, what's the ikar of the cheftza, the ikar of the cheftza is the way it's written because that is its whole definition. Limud Torah shebal peh is limud. Limud is not the written thing. Limud is just the idea. I would say, if we were talking, there'd be no sense in saying, did you say sukkos, mole, or chaser? It's not relevant. It's not applicable. It's not possible to even... It just references an idea. Okay, we have certain words that conjure certain concepts in your mind that hopefully were the ones that were in mind. So, sukkos would imply plural. Okay, but in the Heft of Torah Shebichsav, there's an entity. Is an entity, and that entity is determined by the ksiva itself. So therefore, he holds that if there's a conflict between the two, which one is the ikar, the ksiva. But what about Tosis's problem? So when you say when there is a conflict, so what happens to the one that loses? Right. Does it become pointless? So then it's al-chinam? Then it's al-chinam? I mean, if you hold yesh aim, so if you hold yesh aim le-mikra, le-misoris, you don't have that problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Then it's red.
Because that's the way it's red. Right? So it has a reason. The ikar is...
For reason.
No, the ikar is for the drasha. But you still read it that way. In other words, why was it changed to sukkas from sukkos? For this drasha. And there's nothing achinam because it's pronounced sukkos. That's just the way it's pronounced.
But the other way
is tough because you're going to say when we have a conflict in drasha, we're going to go with sukkos with the way it's read. So now, but it was changed. It was changed.
So
the terms mesoras and mikra means how was it given? It was given like this. And how is it used? How is it read? It's read like this. So when there's a conflict, in terms of drasha, which one do you go with? So the argument is, what? Let's see if we can think about it a little more. See if we can get a good... let's see if we can resolve this problem. And see if we can sharpen it up a little bit. But what I'd like to do after this, we'll move a little faster through the rest of these. We have to... it's very hard to think about what the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is doing. It's just like... seems like just a random rule. Like, I don't know what. Where is it coming from?
Just need a tefach for a wall.
Just need a tefach for some reason. What?
Just for one wall.
Just for one wall. Okay, but it gets interesting. Later on, the Gemara wants to say another possibility. There's a machlokas about whether the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is adding a tefach or reducing the last wall. Right. But either way, I'd like you to just think about it. Explore the possibility. I mean, ask yourself this question. In Mamarashach, do you need three walls or do you need two walls? Whichever side, we'll go with two and a tefach. Okay? But it doesn't really matter. Yeah. What does it mean? Mamarashach, do you need two walls or do you need three walls? What does it mean? We'll say, you need what? Apparently, it's saying you need three walls, but we can accommodate the third wall with a tefach. And why not, like Gil was saying, why can't we accommodate it with a tefach up? Why couldn't that be? Could that have been possible? That it only has to be a tefach high? I mean, that seems like that wouldn't be possible. Huh?
It's just because that's not nigger. It's just a thing on the ground.
But and why is it unique to sukkah? I mean, like in Hilchos Shabbos, if you needed a machi, you needed something fenced in. So would you say a tefach? There's no halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai by Shabbos that if you need, let's say, three walls to enclose an area, then two and a tefach are good. And now I know what's difficult and what's unfair about this question is we have no idea right now where that tefach goes. And there are like 100 possibilities of where you're going to put that tefach.
Oh, fine. That's what I was going
to ask. Okay. And it would seem each one bears some, you know, relationship to the idea of what they think that tefach is doing. So it's really impossible to give a perfect definition over here to that tefach. Because it would seem that they're arguing about the definition itself by arguing about where you put it. But if you could just think maybe just in a broad sense, what you think, why it's possible in the sukkah to have that, It would be helpful, as long as you're not too convinced of whatever you come up with, okay?
We just pick one light?
Yeah, you could do that, if you'd like to, you could do that.
I think this is, we should follow in Rashi's